Good morning and shalom. We want to bless the Lord Jesus Christ for having given us another opportunity to look into his word. The word of God is the light unto our feet. Every time we allow the word of God into every part of ourselves, the light of God comes in. The joy of the Lord comes in. The peace of the Lord comes in, because the word of God is the container of all the issues of life, including faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. So we thank God for the opportunity to hear this word, to study the word, to read the word together, and especially to read verse by verse, not allowing any part to skip or to be skipped, because the Bible interprets the Bible. So today we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we want to study or read or reflect on 9 verses 1 to 9. And we have been looking at the divisions, the disorder called division. Division in the church. We said division is dividing the vision. The vision of the church is given by the message of the cross. The message of Jesus is about Jesus' death on the cross. And because of the division which came in the church, we asked ourselves why. What was the cause of this division, and particularly in the church at Corinth? And we discovered two main causes, or the root causes, the two top root causes. One of the main cause, or the root cause, is that the church at Corinth misunderstood the message of the cross with the messengers, or with the carriers of the message. They upheld some of the messengers in the praise of the message. Some people identified with Apollos, others with Cephas, that is Peter, others with Paul, and others, so to say, they said they belong to Jesus. So they upheld a few people, and they divided the message. They forgot that each of the messengers was supposed to carry the same message. They forgot that the messengers were supposed to be partners. They were supposed to be team members, each carrying different grace, and not to compare. And we said it's wrong even when we compare churches. In fact, when we talk about several churches, we compare the pastor of this church and the pastor of that church and the pastor of the other church, and we say this church is better than that other. And definitely, we are in the same category like the church at Corinth. That was the first lesson. The second lesson, or the root cause of division, was that they misunderstood the message or the ministry of the Spirit. They did not understand the ministry of the Spirit of God, because it is the Spirit of God that enables people to understand the message of the cross. The message of the cross is foolishness. By itself, it has got the power to obstruct. It has the power to offend. In fact, the message of the cross is offensive by itself, because It always tells people that they are not complete, and people don't want to hear that. So they are offended by this message. And so they misunderstood the roar of the Spirit of God to reveal the truth of the cross. And they depended on the wisdom of men, the wisdom of the world, and the wisdom of the rulers of this age. Having talked about the two main reasons, we now go to chapter 3, where we are and asking then, what then is the consequences? What cause? What is that consequences of the people not really focusing on the unity of the church? What will be the consequences of the division in the church? And we want to understand at least one here. There'll be another. There'll be two more, or one more. But here we are looking at one major consequence, which makes people boast on their leaders because of boasting on their leaders. And this one is that the church become spiritually stagnated. Every time people are divided in the church, there is always stagnated spiritual growth. The spiritual growth stops. The spiritual growth goes down. Why? Because we have disallowed some members of the leaders or some members of the church who are carrying the grace. So when we disallow some members, or we just say, I only believe in Minister X and not Minister Y, by that we disallow the grace of Mr. Y or Pastor Y to come and help me. And that is the grace of God that was meant to make me grow. So it is very critical not to tamper with the grace of God that God has given us. Let's allow all the graces to operate. So because of not allowing all the graces, the grace of Apollos, the grace of Paul, because of not allowing the grace of Peter and the grace of Jesus to allow corporately together, so that we can say how blessed are the leaders when they dwell together in unity, and there God commands a blessing. There is not, you know, the spiritual growth is stunted. And we are asking about what is the spiritual growth? And what are the levels of those spiritual growth? And what are the role of spiritual leaders of the church in as far as the growth is concerned? And here we discover that spiritual growth is the increase or the multiplication of the dimensions of the spirit, or the dimensions of the knowledge of the spirit. We do understand that we have what we call the dimension, the spiritual dimension. So people keep on growing. And there are at least three dimensions of spiritual growth. There's one that's called dependent. You are depending on others. That's the first level of spiritual growth. When you grow to the second level, you grow to what we call the independent. This is when you can be able to make decisions on yourself. This is where you can be able to make choices for yourself. Physical choices, spiritual choices, moral choices, and social choices, emotional choices. You can make decisions on yourself. You are a young, you are youth. You can drive yourself. You can ride yourself. Level three and the highest level is when you are making choices on behalf of others. And this is where those leaders were already. And people were dividing among them. So this is when others depend on you. But we also discover, because of this, the consequences is that the church grow into three levels of growth of Christians. And that's where we have, you know, the levels we call the spiritual church members. Then we have got the carnal church members. Then we have got the worldly church members or lead or people. Let's first read and understand what the Bible says. Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. So the first level is spiritual people. And that's the desire of God, that you become spiritual people. When you're reading chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 2, from verse 10 to 16, Paul talked about who a spiritual person is. And he dealt so much, he dug deep into a spiritual person. He said, a spiritual person is the one who allows the Spirit of God to reveal things they have not seen, they have not heard, they have not entered into their mind. And the Spirit of God reveals to them. The Spirit of God advises them. The Spirit of God teaches them. And that is the Spirit. You allow the Spirit of God. You allow, and the spiritual person is the one who understands other people, but he himself cannot be understood by people who are not spiritual. So Paul says, I could not address to you like a spiritual person, as I would to a spiritual person. Why? I had to talk to you as though you belong to this world. Now, all as though you are infants in Christ. Now, we've got these two other levels. That other level is, he talked to you as though you belong to this world. Now, that is what we call the worldly Christian. They're Christians then. They're Christian. They're people who are in the church, but they are worldly. They're also called carnal. Carnal are those who allow to be led by the principles of the world. They allow the world to guide them into what they're doing. These are the people who actually refuses the Spirit of God. They cannot understand the Spirit of God. Those worldly people are people who allow division, are the one who cause division. And the worldly people are the one who are using the wisdom that comes from men and not the wisdom of God. And you see, the wisdom of men counts to nothing. So Paul says, I not talk to you as though you belong to this world, all like infants. So the other level here is the level of infants in Christ. This is what we call spiritually dwarf. All they are people who have not grown. They have remained for a long time without growing. They have remained on one place. They keep on studying, but they don't understand. They keep on reading, but they don't get it. So Paul says, I would have talked to you as though you were children. Then he said, I had to feed you on milk, not with solid food, because you aren't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready. That's now the children, the babes in Christ. For you are still controlled by your sinful nature. And you see, now these are the kind of people now who are controlled by their sinful nature. We discover that you can be controlled from at least five levels. You can be controlled by your sins. You can be controlled by your sinful nature. You can be controlled by the systems of the world. You can be controlled by satanic forces, or you can be controlled by the Spirit of God. And here he says, you are controlled by your sinful nature. Why? You are jealous of one another and quarrel with each other. So jealousy and quarreling became the indicators that they are still worldly and they are controlled by their sinful nature. Doesn't that prove that you are controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like people of the world? When one of you says, I am a follower of Paul, another says, I'm a follower of Apollos, aren't you acting just like men or people of the world? After all, who is Apollos? Or what is Apollo? Who is Paul? Are they not only the servants through whom you believed? So they fail to understand these things, that Apollos and Paul are just messengers, as servants through whom people came to believe. Each of us did the work as the Lord gave. This church also failed to understand that every person have got a different grace. They've got a different role. different responsibility. And Paul says, one, he planted, I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. They also failed to understand the role, the partnership of each of the men of God and how they partner with God. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are God's servants or workers, and you are God's field, and you are God's building. So we continue to learn about that, but we should avoid to be divided among our leaders or between our leaders, so that we don't suffer from spiritual dwarf or spiritual stagnation. Father, we give ourselves to you that we may not suffer from spiritual dwarf in Jesus' name.